It's my great pleasure to introduce Barbara Swanson. Barbara Swanson has led chant workshops across Canada and the United States. She recently completed a PhD in musicology at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, Ohio, on the relationship between chant and early operatic recitation in Renaissance Florence. She is the recipient of numerous awards for her chant research, including from the American Council of Learned Societies, the American Musicological Association, and SSHRC, Social Sciences and Research Council of Canada. A member of the Gregorian Institute of Canada, she is coordinating their annual National Chant Workshop, which will be held in Regina this August. She will be moving from Regina to Halifax this fall, where she will be a postdoctoral researcher in chant at Dalhousie University.
Quran, which interestingly is not considered music. I find that interesting. I don't know if anyone's heard that before. But when they chant the Quran in a very musical way, they themselves don't consider it music. But anyway, in Islam, there's the chanting of the Quran. In Hinduism, there's a very sacred and ancient practice of chanting the Vedas. And here we see some Sanskrit from Vedic chanting. There's well-known Buddhist chanting traditions as well, not to mention Christian and Jewish. And what unifies all these different religions' chanting practices is that typically they're chanting a sacred text, a text that is sacred to them. So in Judaism, the chanting of the Talmud or the books of the Bible. Chant is often very simple. It can be sung on just one or two notes. And I was so struck by what we read this morning as a group. Chanting can be very simple. Out of the stars in their flight, out of the dust of eternity, here we have come. Stardust and sunlight mingling through time and space. So you can take any text that is special to you and chant it on very few notes. And you see here that little bit of notation. I know you may not all read musical notation, but you'll see all those dots indicate different notes. And there's just one or two or three notes there. So what these chanting traditions do is take texts like your very own and just set them to one or two notes to make them even more beautiful than they already are. Chanting is usually done in a ritual context, so as part of a meeting like this, or as part of personal prayer in a ritual context. And usually chant has a very special notation that only people who have been sort of taught can read. Here we have very early Christian chant notation, and I tell you, I can't read it, and if any of you here can, wow. But that notation is very typical of a lot of early chanting traditions. And usually the world's religious chanting practices are very ancient. They stem back deep, deep into the history of those faiths. And one of the most important characteristics of chanting is that most of the world's chanting traditions believe that music has a very special place in the cosmos. That, we've heard of the phrase, the music of the spheres. Well, there's the thought that there's music in our soul. There's something about the way our bodies work that hums. And that there's music in the way that the universe hums. And that when we sing, when I sing like this, the humming of my body somehow resounds with the humming of the universe. And so we sing special texts to us as a way of helping our body and our soul to align with that humming of eternity or of the universe. So that's why chanting. And this is a very old image that shows a hand coming down from heaven to tune the instrument as a way of showing that idea. So I was told that there were some members of your group that have Jewish backgrounds, some that have Christian backgrounds, which is why I chose to focus on those two groups of chant. Also, I don't know enough about the other traditions to say much in front of a group. So we'll talk just a little bit about what those traditions look like. And Jewish cantillation is exceptionally beautiful. The notation is exceptionally difficult to understand. It's like me trying to understand how to chant in a Jewish cantillation practice is like a grade one student learning calculus, I think. It's something that you need to be trained into as a young child, I think, or as part of the tradition. But what we can glean as maybe foreigners to the tradition is that the letters there are Hebrew script, and the little blue marks above them are the notation. And so what ends up happening is when you get when you learn this tradition, you learn that specific signs have specific melodies associated with them. So you hear, see this little melodic cell? Zakef katan goes with that symbol, a colon over top of a word. You'll see that Zakef katan comes back, and you see again that word with that little symbol. So that's how, if you were to really delve into a Jewish chant practice, you'd have to learn what all those little symbols meant and how to associate them with different words to string together a beautiful melody when singing your sacred text. And that example there goes like this. And if you read music, please sing along with me. Merka pashta zakef katan zakef gadol div munak zakef katan. Beautiful, isn't it? Really haunting and lovely. I put a website there in case anyone's curious. LearnTrope.com will teach you everything you need to know about Jewish chanting. Like most chanting traditions, in the Hebrew tradition, different kinds of texts are chanted differently. The Psalms would be chanted differently than a prose text like Genesis. And different regions had different chanting traditions. So the Ashkenazi Jews in northern Europe would sing differently than the Sephardic Jews in Spain. So when you're learning about chant, oh, it's so deep and so rich, the history. Now, Christian chant is in so many ways similar to Jewish chant because it emerged from the same roots. The notation is also strange when you look at that early chant notation, but then we start to see things that look a bit more like our modern notation where things are put onto lines. Gloria et magnum, nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum, amen. That's what's written there. Again, certain kinds of chants are more sung differently than others, and Alleluia is always beautiful and ornate in the Christian chanting tradition. And this one goes something like this. It's a hard one. I practiced it all week, but we'll see if I can get it. Alleluia. Off, but that'll give you a sense of how beautiful alleluias are. Whereas a psalm in the Christian tradition would be sung much more simply. Miserere mei Deus, secundum magnam misericordiam tuam. And that's the way that I suggested singing your text when I did it at the beginning of my talk, that you can take a text and sing it very simply on just a few notes, like in the Christian tradition they might chant psalms. A lot of people think that Christian chant is Gregorian chant, but in fact, Gregorian chant is just one dialect above many. There's Gregorian chant, which is really central to France, Switzerland, and Germany, although it traveled more broadly. In England, they sang Sarum chant. In Spain, they often sang Mozarabic chant. And in Italy, there was Roman chant, Beneventan chant, Ambrosian chant. So really, when we say Gregorian chant, we're just touching the surface of what that Christian chant tradition would have been. Now, oops. One of my slides didn't come through quite right, but Jewish chant and Christian chant are in many ways related. And there's a very beautiful tone in the Christian tradition called the tonus peregrinus. And it goes like this, and I ask after I sing it that you repeat back to me. I'm just going to sing it on la. La, 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 la. la 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 la. Let's do it one more time. La 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 la. Your turn. La 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 la. La 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 la. Your turn. La 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 la. And the Christians would use that chant to sing any psalm text or anything that they could fit to it. Well, listen to this Sephardic chant of the Jewish tradition.
Mizmor le David havu l'Adonai, bene elim havu l'Adonai, kabod vaoz.
I didn't sing it quite right, but does anyone read music here? And we could try this one together. Okay, we'll do a little call and response. So sing after me.
Mizmor le David.
Your turn.
Havu l'Adonai.
Havu l'Adonai.
Bene elim.
Bene elim.
Havu l'Adonai.
Havu l'Adonai.
Havu l'Adonai kabod vaoz. Havu l'Adonai kabod vaoz. La da 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 da.
That's the Christian one. That's the Jewish one. They're part of the same family. So when you learn the one, it really informs the learning of the other. So to conclude, I just want to come back to this image of that hand tuning the musical instrument, the hand from the heavens tuning the musical instrument on earth, that religious communities, spiritual practitioners chant because they want to tune their souls. They want to align themselves with the rhythms of eternity, with the rhythms of the universe, and they do it through their chanting. So, thank you. Sure. Yeah, sure. Oh my goodness. Well, it would take me a minute to figure something out, but if someone asks another question, if I think of something, I will.
Yeah. I grew up in a Catholic tradition. We sang a psalm every week, and as part of the music leadership, it eventually fell on me to follow this like note with the two lines, and you just sang a bunch of words, and then finally you got to move, and then you went. And so, what would that be like from English tradition or Spanish, Roman, Gregorian?
Right.
Which tradition would
that fall into?
The Roman Catholics would be Roman
right.
chanting.
Well, what's interesting is all the different chant dialects, the Roman, the Mozarabic, etc., they all do similar things, just with slightly different melodic gestures. So the Mozarabic ones suddenly feel a little bit more Eastern, and the Roman ones feel a bit more Italian. So they all do that kind of la da 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 da, and then they move to another note, and they move to another note and close. But what they move to is different. So, but they all have that same idea. Does that answer? Yeah. Yeah, good question. Thank you.
Thanks. As I see it now, I was quite lucky to be, as a young singer, to be part of the Anglican Church. And they have a lot of beautiful music, including those, I can't remember the word for it, but all ye works of the Lord, praise ye the Lord. All ye fish of the sea, praise ye the Lord. All birds of the air. And it goes on, and you sing it back and forth responsively. It's quite beautiful, and it's some kind of chanting. We've also got a funny little story. We one time went to Munster and went to the abbey there, and we decided to go to a service, and we sat down, and the monks were all lined up in their little places, and we sat down as part of the three or four audience. Somebody handed us a book, and we looked at the book, and it was all those square note things. Mm-hmm. It was like we were totally like, couldn't do anything. It was so funny.
Yeah, it's that specialized notation that someone has to teach you to do or you're never going to figure it out. Yeah, very true.
Can you repeat the question? Because we have
sure.
some people who are hard of hearing.
To what extent is chant practiced in Regina today, as in within communities, like religious communities or otherwise? It's a really good question. I know that there is a real interest in chant because I gave a talk on chant at St. Michael's Retreat Center in September of this past year, and 50 people signed up. I thought we'd have six. 50 people came. They drove all the way out to St. Michael's to hear a talk about chant. So I know that there's a real interest in chant in Regina, but in terms of how much it's practiced, there just aren't that many people that know a lot about chant in order to actually practice it within communities. There's one woman, Valerie Hall, who's associated with Holy Rosary Cathedral and the Campion College at the U of R, and she's started a chant ensemble that sings as part of Campion College called the Campion Schola. So I know they're doing some chant. I know that some congregations in the city, within the Anglicans especially, have started incorporating some chant into their Sunday worship services. And I know that there's a real interest in within the yoga community in chanting. I often, within the yoga studios I go to, see promotions for doing kirtan and things like that, and there's a real interest in that, or even some yoga teachers will chant before and after their classes. So there is a real interest, but it's kind of spread out all over and just sporadic, is what I would say.
Helen?
Oh, sure. I was just asked to let you know about this workshop that's happening at the end of August, August 22nd and 23rd, which is a Friday and Saturday. And it's two days of chant. And we're going to learn chanting ancient hymns. And there's going to be leading every day towards singing a night service where there's all chanting. And we're bringing in a guest workshop leader from the University of Northern Iowa, who's wonderful, who's leading all the chant. So there will be a lot of chant in Regina on August 22nd and 23rd.
And I'll put this up.
I was wondering if, do you find that there are certain physical places better for chanting than other places, or even out in the environment or in buildings? Just kind of interesting, because I was just on my way beforehand with the Gregorian chant that we were listening to, that when I was at, I think it was at the Moose Jaw Spa in the steam room, it just had such a nice resonance in there. And and I was by myself, so I was just humming and making noise. It was just a kind of fulfilling experience in a way. So mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you've noticed that in other places or...
Yes, absolutely. I think that the building is like singing with a person. So we all know how wonderful it is to sing with somebody else. It's like your voice becomes more. And when you sing in a space that's resonant, the building is like a friend, and it's like you're singing with that friend. And so absolutely, singing chant is most satisfying in a resonant space. Now this space actually is fairly suited to singing chant because you have the wood floor, just a little bit of carpet, and some fairly bare surface. You know, so this would be a decent space for singing chant. You'll find a lot of modern worship spaces, especially Catholic, have really aimed towards fully carpeted, almost living room type Sunday worship spaces. Those are not suited to singing chant because you want the walls to sing with you. Chant is all about getting, you know, heaven and earth to join or eternity to mingle with your sound. And carpet gets in the way of that. So we do, it is nice with resonant spaces. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm wondering if you have heard of any groups anywhere, it doesn't have to be Regina, that do a sort of multi-faith kind of chanting, because I think that it would be really interesting to have chants from different traditions.
I don't know of anything like that, and now that you've said it, I'm dying to find out where that group exists, because that would be wonderful. Yeah, but I don't know of any. I think because the practices are so themselves, each so deep and so variegated, that you know you'd really want to find people who knew those traditions very well, and to gather those people together, and then gather their communities around them. So you'd probably need to be in a fairly large center where those communities of chanting are well established.
My husband and I were just in Ottawa and went to the National Gallery. And so anyone who travels to Ottawa, if you have a chance to do this, it's wonderful. There was a convent in Ottawa that was going to be torn down, and they saved the chapel, the columns, the ceiling, the altar, and reinstalled it in the National Gallery of Ottawa.
Oh, yes.
And we're around the room, which is probably twice as long as this, there are 40 speakers, and they've recorded individual voices, not singing chant, but singing sacred music. But wherever you stand in the room, you get a different set of voices. And if you're in the middle, you get everything. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful work, and it was composed by Thomas Tallis, who was well-versed in chant, so I'm not surprised if there would be chant in that. Yeah.
If I might just tell one story. When I was in Turkey with a tour group, this was way back in 2001, they were just a small group of us because, unfortunately, Afghanistan had just been bombed, and so no many people were going that direction in travel. But we went to a Turkish bath, and we had the whole place to ourselves. It was booked for us. And everything's marble. And we lay on six of us lay like a star shape on this huge sort of marble table, if you like. And I taught them that Jewish one, which we've done here. I'm not sure if that's really technically a chant, but now I can't think of it because I'm... No, it's not in Jewish, in Hebrew, I mean. It's return again. Mm-hmm. Return again, return again. And we've sung it here quite a few times, and it was just magnificent. Everybody was sort of transfixed for a while. One more, and then we'll finish.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your presentation. You have a lovely voice.
Thank you.
I was thinking while you were talking of Carmina Burana, mm-hmm. Which you are obviously familiar with, and I think there's a lot of chanting in that. And so and in Wiccan tradition too, outdoors. So I'm just thinking that it's not only scriptural chanting, it's certainly secular or pagan kind of chanting as well, mm-hmm. that has drawn people to the hymn or to the hum of the universe.
Yes, I would agree with that. And actually, the Celts, I think a lot of chant actually was in dialogue with what we might call pagan Celtish, you know, in the region of Europe. So I think you would see, if you looked at those ancient pagan chants, right. Influences on what we now call Christian chants. So that's a really interesting point. Thank you.
I wasn't going to speak, but Sandra, just to tell everybody, the Philharmonic is singing Carmina Burana again next year in May. Yes.
And I've been asked to ask you if you've thought of anything to sing.
Oh,
but if not, it's okay.
Okay. Well, I actually did bring something that I thought we might do together, but I could just sing it too for you if I can find it quickly. If it happens to be present to me. Yes, there it is. This is a beautiful chant that I was just introduced to, which is why I don't have it by memory. But it's for the lighting of candles, and it's in Latin. So I'll just sing it for you. I just have to find my note.
Inventor utili, dux bone luminis, cui certis vicibus tempora dividis, mer sole caos ingruit horridum, lucere de tuis, Christ fidelium. Viax flamma vicet, secavat est ulla, sucum leteolo, suggerit ebrio, sopinis piceam, ferta limoniam, seceram teretem, stupa calens bibit.
Thank you so much. That was wonderful.